Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the special 4-18's Fire Internet Soccer Show with my fellow MLS Talk writers, Robert Hay Jr., Earl Reed. This is Daniel 4-18, World Cup qualifying postgame show as the United States survives a 3-1 victory over Antigua and Barbuda. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, they survived. They did not dominate. They may have had a good amount of possession. They may have made some great runs. But let's be honest with ourselves. This was not a performance we can write home about. This was, unfortunately, while it was a win and 3 points to the good, it just did not feel like a victory at all. And we'll go with Earl Reed first. Earl, I just have to say that strange reason they could not break down Antigua and Barbuda all night long. They got close to goal. They had at least two chances and one on a penalty. It just didn't feel like a solid victory.
Well, you know, I don't know if they actually had trouble breaking them down as much as taking the chances when they were there in the best position possible. They were looking. They seem to look for that, highlight reel goal where, you know, kind of like what Hercules Gomez scored his goal on, that type of a situation where it's, you know, just throttling it into a wide open net. It seemed like that was what they were focused on the whole time. And there were many opportunities to try to get something on goal where, it might have been a little more fruitful. You know, I think they had a lot of opportunities, and it was just a matter of, I don't know whether the players were lacking that instinct to realize that they had a quality chance, or if it was just, maybe the rain played a part in it. But in any regard, the 3-1 scoreline it kind of represents against a team like Antigua and Barbuda just how far away the U.S. is from being a powerhouse in this region.
Absolutely. And Robert, at the moment, Mexico leading 3-1 on Guyana, and apparently it's an own goal for Guyana scored on in the 62nd minute. But for Mexico, I mean, it was boom, 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 three goals. Apparently another own goal on the third one for Mexico from Guyana. But Mexico, this is why I think Mexico still is the dominant nation in this region, because they don't take their opponents, whether at their level or below it, they don't take them lightly. And this is why in the second half you just did not feel good with how Antigua got their goal.
Yeah, I think, I'll preface this by saying I'm not watching the Mexico game at the current moment. I've just been seeing the highlights, but it's interesting how you have the same scoreline, but you feel very differently about two different games. The third goal that you mentioned was changed. It was originally thought to given to Chicharito as a goal, but switched to an own goal. And I think that shows kind of that says a lot about what Mexico is doing in their game, is they're putting constant pressure on their opponents and forcing them into errors. Maybe once, I'm thinking back on this U.S. game here or match here, there might have been an opportunity for an own goal, but the U.S. was just so sloppy in the final third that there wasn't, they didn't pressure Antigua into making a mistake like that. Earl hit the nail on the head. You know, it wasn't a matter of possession. It wasn't a matter of breaking him down. It was just a matter of finishing, and finishing is probably even the wrong word. It's just a matter of figuring out how to finish. It seemed like there was a lot of players who wanted to rack up assists tonight instead of actual goals, and that was very disappointing. I think that there was an opportunity here to put this one away early. The U.S. didn't take advantage of it, and they had a nervy second half when Antigua had a little bit of momentum and decided to experiment and try and score their own goals, and lo and behold, they got one, and it made for a tough ride the rest of the way.
It really did, Earl, and, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, Clemson talks about having a little bit more of a form of nastiness, and we were talking about that after the Brazil game in the post-match show, you know, having an edge to them. And it's not so much of the edge of gamesmanship. It's to have that edge of, we are the United States. We're a dominant side. This is why we're always ranked first through third in CONCACAF. Either we're the top-ranked side or we're the second-ranked side, but we're still the big dogs. And it's World Cup qualifying, and this is an opponent where you could not respect them that much. And it wasn't so much it was a lack of respect. I just felt it was a lack of selfishness, because they kept on passing it to each other before they can actually get it on frame. And most of the time, they didn't even get it on frame. Sure, the keeper was, you know, let's not take anything away from the keeper. Let's not take anything away from Mulvin James. I mean, I think he had a very good night, just like Tim Howard had a pretty good night, but Timmy didn't have that much to work with. That's the problem. Too much self, you know, being unselfish. You got to go and attack and take them out.
Yeah, I think at this point you really need to see that more from the United States. You know, Hercules Gomez is a guy who should be playing for his job and trying to score the goals that he can, because, I mean, you've got guys like Altidore who had a heck of a season at AZ Alkmaar. You know, he's got to be the first choice forward once he gets back to match fit, since he came in late to the camp. I don't understand how Hercules Gomez can sit there and have a clear shot at goal in the first half. And he might have been offside, but his first instinct is to try to pass it to his left in order to set up somebody for their own wide-open shot. That's not the way that you can't play the game that way. You can't – I mean, I'm looking at last cycle scores. You know, at home we defeated Cuba 6-1. I mean, that's the type of scoreline you need to have in these matches against minnows. I mean, is Antigua and Barbuda okay? Yeah, I mean, they're at the same level as Guyana, at least by the FIFA rankings. They're 104 and 105 respectively. But, you know, the lack of not only the lack of finishing, but sometimes the lack of zest through periods of this match. They seem to, after they went up 2-0. It was like they just shut off. It was just this matter of trying to play possession and let's not try to get that next goal. Or let's, I don't know. I'm just, it's a little, I think based off of the Canada match, everybody's in a little different frame of mind as opposed to if, you know, we had had a situation where we dominated the matches right before this match.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would have just been, I mean, it still would have been disappointing, but at least you say, well, you know, everybody has a bad match every once in a while. This is two in a row, and, you know, Brazil, aside from, getting plenty of chances, it still wasn't a full-blown great match. And now you look at Scotland and you wonder just how good Scotland is. the way United States is playing down to their opponents at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are certain factors out there that probably did not make this match into the game that we thought we were going to see from the U.S. Obviously, the pouring rain just kept on going. The field, and I know how these fields are cut in these NFL stadiums. They're cut very, very low, very, very thin. It helps these running backs, get a faster sprint. That's the same thing over at Sun Life Stadium where the Miami Dolphins play. The same thing that happened in Jacksonville against Scotland, that's for the Jaguars. Even here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They cut the grass so low, it just helps the speed for the running backs, or at least as well as the wide receivers, you know, to get a better sprint. You know, you saw the field not that great, and I can understand that a little bit. But the point, though, is this, is that, Robert, this is the type of game where you're expecting the United States to be. Well, I mean, we're one of the big dogs here. The North Zone is made up of Canada, the United States, Mexico. Always, you know, U.S. and Mexico always are going to go to the World Cup. We're always going to go to the World Cup. That's always the impression, Robert. But in this game, it just didn't feel like the U.S. were playing like a big dog in this confederation.
Yeah, real quick, I just want to address the first point you made, the weather being terrible and the field probably not being, you know, soccer pitch pristine. You can explain away some of the misses on shots, but, you know, I don't think you can explain away giving up clear scoring opportunities to try and get an assist and some of these easier putbacks right in front of goal that just were either passed away or missed. So, yeah, you can blame the weather a little bit. But, you know, at some point you just got to score. That said, you're right. This, you know, I think we've become a little bit spoiled as U.S. soccer fans where we almost are to the point where we assume that we're the best or, if we're having a really bad day, second best team in CONCACAF. We tend to dismiss the teams, you know, the other teams in the region besides Mexico. You know, our colleague Kartik Krishnar was just putting out on Twitter just now, you know, talking about some of these Antigua players. You know, they've had a couple of guys who have played at the highest level of the English, you know, professional leagues. You know, they've had guys who play in the Premier League, one or two, who have, you know, that experience or will have that experience next year. There's talent in this league. And, you know, the difference, I think, between the U.S. and Mexico right now is Mexico sees talent on other teams and says, you know what, we're better. We're just going to go out there and beat you. Whereas the U.S. is just kind of has this, you know, I mentioned this in the pregame, the knock on Bob Bradley teams was, you know, they play down to their competition, they play up to their competition. You know, Jurgen Klinsmann was supposed to cure that. They were supposed to have the style of play that was going to be consistent. You're playing a team that's, you know, lower in the rankings, you're going to pound them. You're playing a team higher in the rankings, you're going to be competitive. This looked like a Bob Bradley team tonight, except with more passing. And that's kind of disappointing. And not really, I think, what rightly or wrongly U.S. fans have come to expect for this team. No, this doesn't look like a dominant team. This doesn't look like a team that should be a lock for the World Cup or, you know, at least a heavy favorite for the World Cup.
I absolutely agree right now. I mean, obviously things could change when they go down to Guatemala on Tuesday. But at the moment, this is the type of game where you're expecting to see, and I'm not saying this should have been 10-0, Earl. Obviously, this should not be considered 11-0. I mean, you were expecting that type of a game, but I never felt that that has to happen. I mean, I tweeted this. I mean, it's not like it's a Bugs Bunny cartoon where he does that. It's him against, you know, that bunch of gorillas, you know, for that baseball team, and he's hitting, like, you know, strike one, two, three, you're out. Strike one, two, three, you're out. It's nothing like that. And that's the thing I think U.S. fans have to understand sometimes, that occasionally you're going to get these minnows that are going to actually play up to the opponent that they know is supposed to be the dominant side. And we just did not see that type of game from the U.S. where they know they're facing a minnow and they know they're going to have to bomb them out of the park. And they did not do that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've been on Twitter here exchanging some tweets with Kartik about this very issue, about the, you know, maybe we've underestimated what Antigua and Barbuda bring to the table. I don't know. To me, it looks like a side that has quite a few third division United States prospects in their system. You know, the Antigua Barracuda. There may be a couple players on there that are at a higher level, but most of that back line is, you know, to me, there is nothing about the U.S. performance that says to me, oh, Antigua really took it to them. You know, it should have been a closer scoreline. No, in fact, I think there were many opportunities for the U.S. to go up further, and we didn't take them, or we just failed miserably in maybe hitting the ball straight at a player or taking a too close of an angle shot. The funny thing was is, like, one point where things changed a little bit in this match is when Bokenegger moved out to the left wing at the fullback position, and he made that run, and it just, like, sparked the offense. He had a series of chances in a row, and I think that eventually eventually he ended up getting goal to make it 2-1, but then they came back and – or maybe that was after the 2-1. I can't remember which.
I think that was after the 2-1.
Yeah, it was after the 2-1. And then eventually Gomez got his goal. So for some reason, it's just there's a spark there that's missing right now, and I don't know what it is. I'm not sure if it's something that is inherent with the Klinsmann regime right now that is making these guys – you know, maybe it's the heavy workouts that they're undergoing. I think that was mentioned in the broadcast, and mm-hmm. we brought it up on this podcast a couple times. You know, maybe they're just, you know, gassed right now, and they're having trouble with being fit for a full 90 minutes because they've been worked so hard. I don't know. I mean, there's just something lacking right now. I don't know if you guys feel that way, too. There's just something amiss. I don't know if he's trying to get them to think pass, pass, pass instead of shoot, shoot, shoot. I mean, I know they took 19 shots tonight. It felt like they only took about 7 or 8.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Earl. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's the added workouts or the added training time by Klinsmann that maybe is not keeping them sharp enough. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to speculate on that. But hopefully when they get down to Guatemala, you know, that's a different animal. When you're down there in Central America, that's a completely different animal when you're facing a Central American side that not just wants to beat you, but they're ready to take your head off. And that's the thing you have to be prepared for. In this game, sadly, you know, Antigua, you know, if they're not going to break down their opponent, they're going to break their legs. And they almost did that with Jose Torres. They got Hercules Gomez from behind twice, and one was in the area and one was out of the area, but that should have been a couple of bookings. But still, though, that is the type of thing you'd expect, Robert, with, you know, Jermaine Jones when you're taking on an opponent like this that's going to be chippy. You're expecting maybe Jermaine Jones to play that type of way, the chippiness that Jurgen Klinsmann was looking for. And it just never was there. It just did not seem to have the edge out there for the boys.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. There was the joke going around on the internets that Jermaine Jones had made it through a half without a yellow card, and people were questioning if that was a record or anything. There's two ways I kind of see this, you know, to look at it from the Antigua and Barbuda view. I think them being aggressive and physical with the U.S. was kind of a good wake-up call. Brazil and Canada and Scotland weren't going to play that way, but that's how the qualifiers are going to go the rest of the way. The U.S. is going to have to face teams that are going to go out there and, if not, you know, try and break bones, you know, that might be a little much, but, you know, try and hack you down. I mean, that's what's going to happen. So this should be a good wake-up call to them from here on out. They're going to have to be prepared for this physicality. And they weren't tonight. I mean, I think you're right. Jermaine Jones, either he was told to just, you know, do some breathing exercises or something beforehand. He just didn't seem very aggressive. And the only time that I really saw any fired up aggressiveness was when Torres went down and Michael Brightley went over and started yapping at some of the, you know, Antigua players. And, you know, that's not the kind of nastiness, the kind of strength, the kind of attitude that this team needs. You know, it needs the type of stuff on the field where it'll stand up to challenges. You know, there may be a time to talk back to other players, but, you know, not when you're struggling in a game you should be blowing out, and not when, you know, your player who got hurt, you know, hurt himself on a fairly legitimate tackle. Doesn't seem to be any emotional toughness on this team right now. Whether that'll change, I would think so, because like you said, Jermaine Jones is a tough, you know, can do the tough guy role. Dempsey obviously is a hard-nosed player, and there's some other guys on this team who can come with an attitude that seems to be, that was definitely lacking in this game, and that they're going to need from here on out. So I hope when they play on Tuesday that there's a little bit more swagger, a little bit more attitude, because they're going to need it, because there's going to be some hacking, there's going to be some physical play, and if they're just going to wilt, then this could be a very unpleasant qualification round if they make it out of it.
Exactly, and this is the thing that they're going to have to understand. This is only 6 games, 1 down, 5 to go. And if you're plotting the course, Earl, for the U.S. national team to get to the final round, obviously 3 points were a must tonight because you were facing a team that, you know, plays – most of their players are probably over in England right now. It doesn't matter what level it is in England. They're playing competitive games. And at the same time, as we've mentioned, a good number of players who are still here. They're still in the CONCACAF region as they're playing for the Antigua club side called the Barracudas in the USL Pro League. They're facing tough opponents in Harrisburg, in Charleston, Rochester, Wilmington, the LA Blues, Orlando. I mean, they're getting quality games against solid third division sides that could easily be in either NASL or an MLS right now. And there are, you know, that's an advantage for them to face the U.S. because they know the styles of these different club sides. And at the same time, the head coach of Antigua Barracudas is also the national team head coach for Antigua and Barbuda. It's just something you have to pay attention to. You can't assume that you can go right off the bat and think it's a cakewalk, because it's not. And they showed it tonight, Antigua.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point, Daniel, is that, you know, because they play in our system, you know, in the pyramid, you know, there definitely is a sense of, you know, they know, they face the type of play that we have. You know, they face maybe the stronger challenges, just the way that we tend to attack. So, yeah, it's, so maybe they do have an advantage in some of these other situations, you know, than maybe Guatemala or, you know, Jamaica might. Although, I guess, well, I'm not sure where the Jamaican players typically, you know, what if they have their own league or if, I mean, a few of them are in the MLS right now, I guess. But, you know, it's, I'll go back to what Robert was saying. You know, you see some of these teams from Central America, you know, not only, you know, Mexico is the obvious one, but, you know, you're going in here into these matches and you just want to score and you and be lethal. I mean, you know, there was a challenge at the end of the half, at the end of the match where Bocanegra wrote a guy into the boards, you know, the signboards. And he walked over and tried to give him a hand, and the guy basically, like, blew him off. And that's
right.
Some of the lack of, you know, I mean, I don't want to say we need to be nasty, like, mean, but, you know, you're playing a match. Go out there and try to score. Go out there and don't feel, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, Antigua would go out and score 12 if they were good enough to do that. And I'm not sure the U.S. has that kind of mentality where let's go out and run up the score against these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. It seems like there's a lack of desire to just kill these chances off. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just blathering on. You know.
No, listen. You're absolutely right. I mean, no, you're absolutely right, Earl. And this is the problem. The problem is that they have to go out in these games. It's a group stage game. It's not the hexagonal. Obviously, you're facing a group of three, and you have to go out there with the mentality that this is the United States. We got to go out there. We got to blast them out of the park, bomb them out of the park, score 10, 15, 20 goals. Maybe what they should do, and maybe if CONCACAF is going to do this, which I don't think they will because they got rid of it from the last rounds of qualifying, is maybe have two stages of the goal aggregate qualifiers and then move on to the group stage. Because when the U.S. took on Grenada and the game was over at the Home Depot Center, what happened? Without any hesitation, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 goals in the first leg of those goal aggregate qualifiers. And then they went down to Grenada, which Grenada still gave them a hell of a game because it was because they were dangerous. And even though they could keep on adding on to the score, they were still dangerous, but the U.S. didn't have to worry so much because they were already up on the aggregate. This is the problem right now. Their problem is, Robert, they think it's going to be a cakewalk and it's an easy 3 points to start off the group. And what does Mexico do? And we have to reiterate this. What does Mexico do? They go out there, they know how to handle an opponent, they go out there, and they actually dominate a game. Now, granted, there's an own goal here or there that they accidentally put in their net, but they're already up 3-0. And then the accident pops in, and then they're going to go out again and say, okay, we're still the better side, and we're still going to score more. And just making a quick check on what's going on with Mexico, it's full-time.
Still
Mexico
3-1.
Defeats Guyana mm-hmm. 3-1. But the point is that they put three goals in first, and then they got Guyana their consolation prize. It was 2-0 U.S., and they allowed Antigua to get back into the game. They allowed them to pull one back, and they had to sweat to get that third goal. That's the problem.
And, you know, with all due respect to Antigua, this U.S. team should need a qualification of goals scored to score goals against this team. I mean, these are professionals who are playing at the highest level in multiple different continental leagues, European continental leagues, and they're playing for their national team. They should just be scoring the goals here. There shouldn't be a desire. If there's a desire issue here, then that's why they're not scoring goals. They're just not motivated enough. You know, call up some of their players. I mean, come on, guys. Let's get real here. And then by guys, I mean them. You know, you guys need to wake up. I mean, there should be plenty of, you know, reaching Brazil 2014 should be the motivation here. And that should make you want to go out there and walk into, you know, the locker room up 6-0 and say, all right, let's coast from here. You know, I hope motivation's not a factor at this point, because if it is, then there's some serious problems on this team. And, you know, we talk about Mexico. I just pulled up the Jamaican national football team. You know, we talked about Antigua and some of the players that they have in the English professional leagues. You know, looking at Jamaica, this is a pretty impressive team in terms of who they have. You know, they have players on this team who play in the top couple of divisions in you know, English soccer. Obviously, have some MLS players, have some players who are playing in top leagues in Europe. You know, if we're concerned about Antigua and their talent level, Jamaica is going to be a couple of steps above that. And, you know, and that's just one example of some of these teams we're competing with for World Cup's spots. So, you guys, you know, this team better get motivated pretty quickly if that's the issue, and start, you know, start focusing, because it's only going to get you know, harder from here.
You know, Robert, the other
thing
I was,
that's my rant for the night.
Can I jump in for a second?
Go ahead, go for it.
Yeah, what I'm wondering, I almost wonder sometimes if Klinsmann tries to hammer this system so hard that maybe they've lost the plot, or the, you know, they don't see the forest for the trees. You know, it's like, you know, what's the ultimate goal? Making the World Cup. Well, if you're so focused on playing a system where all, you know, instead of trying to score goals and trying to give yourself the best position possible to make it through, instead you're trying to play a system that's pretty and elegant and, you know, by all standards what, you know, all of the class teams in Europe play. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but right now these players need to be instilled with the idea that results matter. And, you know, there's a certain amount of this, I think, in the youth program. And the other point I wanted to make is, you know, the under-23 team that missed out on the Olympics, they had a wake-up call. I mean, I really hope that the senior team doesn't need that kind of wake-up call in this cycle. But, you know, if they continue to make performances like this, the likelihood of that happening keeps going up. You know, it's they may still make it through, and they may still qualify in the top three in the hexagonal and all hunky-dory. But, you know, they're going to make it difficult on themselves. You can't take things for granted. You know, maybe they'll be able to go through just on points and the goal differential won't matter. But, you know, if it does, and a team like Jamaica goes in and pounds Antigua and Barbuda 7-0 or 6-1 or something like that, and then you start talking about that tiebreaker, there could be trouble. You know, I don't know. Maybe it'll be all be okay, and, you know, the unicorns will, you know, jump out of the sky and all that stuff. Give me some effort. Give me some reason to believe that this is a team that can beat Mexico when the chips are down.
Absolutely. And that's the idea, because Right now, you're not going to face Mexico. They're going to be in their own group, and at the moment, they're leading their group with 3 points. So USA is also leading the group now with 3 points. We're going to have to see what happens between Jamaica and Guatemala, but it's not enough.
That's always going to be the litmus test for the United States, though. Can you beat Mexico?
Yes.
I think they are the – maybe it's because, you know, I work with a couple people that are Mexican, and, you know – They certainly rubbed it in my face this week that Mexico beat Brazil 2-0 and that we lost 4-1. You know, maybe that's it. I think that is the litmus test, whether this team can defeat Mexico or not. And right now I would, you know, if I was going to put money down, I'd put it on Mexico. I'm sorry. That would be a poor bet to throw it down on the United States unless you were getting superb odds.
Yeah. Right now I have to agree with you because at the moment – right now the problem is, and unfortunately the problem is this, is that our left back situation is now a problem because of the injuries to Castillo, the injury to Fabian Johnson, and now Jose Torres, who I thought he filled in admirably, just got taken out from the Antigua players. And currently I understand we have a listener, his name's Eric Ruenz, and he's just giving me the information at the moment. He's getting an x-ray right now, Jose Torres, and Klinsmann already said in his post-game interview that the injury doesn't look good. It does not look good that Torres is going to make it for Guatemala on Tuesday night, and the problem now is who can we put over there in left back? Are we going to have to keep Carlos Bocanegra as a left back? And here's the other problem, too,
no.
Robert.
No.
and here's the other problem, too, Robert, is that is Gucci Onyewu ready? He came in as a sub. I don't think he's ready. And I like Gucci. He was an answer at center back at one time until the injury happened against Costa Rica in the final round before South America. The Jonathan Bornstein. I mean, here's the thing. Are we going to have to call in Bornstein that everyone hates for some stupid reason?
this conversation just took a turn to a very dark place. I'm the biggest Gooch fan you can get, and I just don't see how you play him at this point. I just don't. I mean, you know, I jokingly said you can't play Bocanegra on the left. Well, because who are you going to play in the center? You know, I just don't know. Jeff Cameron hasn't really looked very good. Looking at this roster, there's not a lot of confidence here on, you know, filling in. If maybe you had an Eric Lehigh or something on this roster, you could feel a little bit more comfortable playing with things. But, I mean, I guess if I were Jurgen Klinsmann, I guess I'd throw Parkhurst out there, but I can't say that with any confidence, you know, that I would feel confident doing that. I mean, this is a major problem. It's you know, the left back curse, I've heard people say, and it's
yes.
Starts to look like that way. It truly does look like a curse at this point. You don't play that position for the U.S.
Absolutely, and that's a sad thing to say because, you know, you want to see the boys go out there and do well and play their butts off. And the problem, unfortunately, is that there's injuries coming and you don't know when it's going to come. I mean, you know, you get snake bit up at BMO for the final friendly against Canada before this game started. And Fabian Johnson goes down. Edgar Castillo, he did okay. He had some decent chances. And then all of a sudden you find out he got hurt before the game started, and you throw in Jose Torres, and now Torres gets injured in the middle of the second half. I'm telling you, Earl, it's just absolutely mind-boggling what's going on here. Do we have to bring back Jonathan Bornstein? In my mind, that's the logical answer.
You know, the only other thing I could think of right now, I don't know if you are allowed to do this in the qualifying cycle at this point, if you could actually consider, let's say, Edgar Castillo to be, or whoever is the most hurt of these three, consider them to be inactive at this point, and then bring in somebody as a, you know, if you're pretty sure that Johnson and Castillo won't be able to go against Guatemala, bring in somebody who can play that left back position. I don't think thinking of like maybe Heath Pierce or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. And I mean, heck, even I
Connor
hate to say
Lade.
It because he. Well,
Connor
Lade. Because he hasn't done particularly well in recent weeks. But what about like Breck Shea? He's played as a defender before. What if you were to bring him in and put him in at left back? I don't know if you can make that kind of a. If you can make those kinds of switches right now, if you've got injury problems.
At the moment, right now, they got no choice. They're going to have to bring in somebody. They're going to have to bring in Brett. I mean, listen, if there is a rule saying that we have our two left backs that are not able to go, we had this guy playing left back, and now he got hurt, we need to refill a roster spot, I think I would have to assume that's doable. I mean, I'm assuming, you probably have to go to contact FIFA or contact CONCACAF to say, listen, we need to fill in this spot. We don't have a left back. We need to bring in somebody. And if they would say, yes, it's okay, then I don't think it's that much of a problem. I mean, Heath Pierce would be a fantastic addition. I'll agree with you. Breck Shea would be a very good addition to the roster, unless he's injured. I don't know if he is or not for FC Dallas. But honestly, there has to be someone that's got to fill in this position right now. And I don't want Fabian Johnson to lose this spot due to injury, because that is not the right thing to do, because I still believe it's his spot. Right now, you just need someone to fill in for this time before you head into September, which will be basically the Jamaica month, because they got to go to Jamaica first and then come back to the U.S. and play them in Columbus Crew Stadium. But once again,
I mean, it would really need to be somebody from MLS, because they would have, you know, coming from MLS, they would be in form, you know, that's or in you know, match fitness, because I think anybody from Europe right now is probably going to be, you know, have been on holiday so long it would take them too long to get ready. But you could pull in somebody from MLS who, you know, could at least help you out. I mean, what about Todd Donovan? I mean, is he hurt right now?
Who, Heath Pierce?
I mean, just – no, I said Todd Donovan.
I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm just throwing out names there. I mean, I don't know. Do you really need to have somebody who's – I mean, maybe they have to be in your player pool. I don't know. That's what I'm not clear about, whether or not there are specific rules on how you can bring somebody in as an injury replacement on the squad. But I think at this point you really need to do that, at least for cover for Castillo, and maybe as someone who knows how to play the position and won't get burned like, you know, Castillo did. But again, Klinsmann's system is, you know, probably different than some players in MLS have handled. So bringing in someone like Shea or, you know, maybe Heath Pierce has been, I think he, was he on the January call-ups?
I think he was. And right now he's just, right. I mean, I don't know if they're going to give him
back,
a chance, but yeah, I think he did.
But,
I really think he did, but I'm...
Yeah, he definitely was.
Yep.
I just pulled up the roster, and yes, he was on that list.
So then we would have to assume that he would be eligible to come in as a fill-in, because they need something right now, because going down to Guatemala, they're going to throw everything at the U.S., not just the kitchen sink, the garage, the living room, the dining room, and even something in the basement. They're going to bring everything, and they're going to try and take out the U.S. just for those 3 points. And this is where they really have to come together and just play like a team that is possessed to get to the World Cup. You cannot tiptoe through the tulips when you face a side that also is not at the level, but will be if you give them that opportunity, and they did take that opportunity, and they made it difficult on the U.S. after they pulled one back. It's just been a frustrating night for a U.S. fan, because right now it's just been a night where the U.S. should have gotten more than the 3 goals that they got. It should have been at least more. And even though they did get into the area, and even though they had great runs, great crosses, they did everything right, the problem was they did not have their finishing boots on, and that was the problem. That was their problem, and it just kept on piling on and piling on and piling on. Quick update, it's still 0-0 with Jamaica and Guatemala, but Donovan Ricketts has been subbed out in the 20th minute, and they brought in Dwayne Miller. Don't know if there's an injury to Ricketts or maybe Theodore Whitmore, the head coach of Jamaica, just didn't like what he saw from him. So we'll just keep you posted on that. Once again, just to give you some quick updates on the scoring, Canada, again, defeating Cuba 1-0. Olivia Oshan gets the goal. Honduras and Panama right now in the 39th minute, 0-0. Costa Rica hosting El Salvador, and that's also 0-0 in the 7th minute. Once again, Mexico, they handle Guyana 3-1. They handle them 3-1, and that is your current score, your update for the scores here in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. But, yeah, Robert, I mean, who would you like to see filling in for that left back spot until Fabian Johnson gets healthy again?
Well, pulling up the roster from the spring, there's some interesting names that were on that were brought in just for the Camp Cupcake. You know, you have an AJ De La Garza, Zach Lloyd, and a couple other players like that who might be intriguing to bring in. You know, maybe if not to fill in the left back, to fill in at central and move Bocanegra out. But I really do like that Brekshay idea because I think he solves a couple of problems. First of all, he does have a little bit of experience playing in that position. Maybe some mixed success at the MLS level, but at least he has the experience. But also he provides another offensive option and a little bit of flexibility. I know flexibility with formation isn't necessarily a big thing in terms of changing formation with Klinsmann, but, you know, he is another option on offense from the wings, and he does that very well. So in case things start getting tight or, you know, like tonight they have trouble finding the net, you know, he's at least another option to mix things up and provide a little bit more offense. So I think that's an intriguing and a pretty a good idea, you know, not knowing the substitution and the, you know, roster rules. Heck, call him. If he's healthy, fly him in. Buy him a ticket for Guatemala, if nothing else, and put him in if we can. I'm in favor of that.
I'm in favor of that, too, and hopefully we'll see what's going to happen. Talking about the goals real quick, Bocanegra getting that first goal for the U.S., obviously that was a great, you'd have to say, Earl, a great job by Bocanegra roaming around in the area when the corner was crossed in by Landon Donovan, and it was in the 6th minute. It was a great goal. He found the rebound, and he just tucked it in. He didn't have to do much with it, just got into the right position and found it.
Yeah, and good good play by Hercules Gomez getting open for the header, which was right at the keeper. But, again, Bocanegra was the Johnny on the spot there to get it past the player on the post and also the keeper to put it home. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good night for Bocanegra tonight. He not only did he get a goal, but I thought he was pretty tidy. It was only when, once he moved out there to the left back and you brought in Gooch that things started to look a little shakier when playing out of the back.
Yep, absolutely. And, of course, the USA gets a penalty, Robert, in the 42nd minute, converted by Clint Dempsey in the 43rd. And it's just one of those times where how many times does a U.S. player get hacked down from behind or off to the side, either from within the area or from without the area, but there was no card, no call, but finally it came to the U.S.'s way, and Dempsey just buries it to make it 2-0 before the halftime whistle blew.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts on that one. I mean, that was as bad of a, you know, pretty obvious as a penalty as you can get. You know, if nothing gets called on that one, then you know that, you know, the referee's putting away his whistle for the night. That was pretty obvious on probably one of the most high-profile players on the pitch. So that's going to get called 99% of the time. And, you know, that was just Antigua's poor, defense, defending, just catching up with them. if this game would have been a 9-1, 8-1, or even 5-1 blowout, I think we would be hearing more right now about the Clinton Dempsey taking the penalty. It's kind of interesting. I don't know who is captain tonight, but usually it looks like it's Donovan that's making the decision on who's taking the penalty or taking it himself. And I'm wondering if there's something symbolic on the fact that Dempsey was the one who took the penalty. Obviously, he's the goal scorer in form right now, and you know, in all things being equal, it makes sense to put him up there to finish that one. But I'm kind of curious what the thought process was there, putting him up there. If it was just, you know, he's the one scoring right now on such an incredibly hot pace, but why not Landon Donovan, who's, you know, been the face of this team for so long? Like I said, that would be a talking point, I think, if this were a blowout. But because of the way the game finished, it's kind of been pushed off to the side. But good finish. I mean, you won't, you know, kids, watch that video of him finishing that penalty. That's how you do it. You commit, and you commit with everything. So,
absolutely. And then this is where it gets hairy. Peter Byers, obviously the all-time leading goal scorer of his nation. He gets a great pass on Yehu, sadly, Earl. Either he was too late getting to him, or he just ran his route wrong to try and stop the pass. And Byers has found a great angle and put it past Tim Howard, and that made it 2-1 in the 64th minute.
Yeah, I just think it was a bad piece of judgment on Yehu one way or the other. He underestimated what was coming at him and you know, basically got burned. And, you know, Howard got a piece of it, but, you know, one-on-one with the keeper is a dangerous proposition. You know, Howard will stop at a lot of those, but this time Byers, you know, he obviously knows how to put them away. So it's, you know, it's just another sign that, you know, Gooch, you know, it may be time to have him, you know, talk to him about retiring from the national team, because, you know, even as a sub, you know, just as like in an emergency situation, you know, he let Antigua and Barbuda back into the game with a pretty poor, you know, pretty poor judgment on how he needed to approach that situation.
Absolutely. And, of course, USA begging for a third, trying to get a third. And finally, it does happen on a play where the U.S., Robert, finally gets an opportunity. It was some bad defending from Antigua, but they were able to convert. And it was Hercules Gomez in the 71st minute. He buried his first World Cup qualifying goal. So for the U.S., they get back the two-goal lead. And, boy, it's just one of those moments where you're thinking to yourself, when will this goal be coming? And it did.
Yeah, it seemed like those were the kind of opportunities they'd been missing all night. And you know, it was just Hercules Gomez doing what he'd been doing in club play. You know, there was an opportunity there. He created an opportunity for himself. And, you know, he finished the opportunity. It was just a matter of, you know, a scramble in the box. And he seemed to, you know, just be there, right place, right time. And
that's
just
all you can ask for.
The game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what we've been asking for all night. So
exactly.
Can't really complain about that.
No, you can't really complain about that. And, of course, once again, the USA wins by a final of 3-1. Once again, it did not feel like a solid 3-1 final. There are still plenty of questions that need to be asked and questions that need to be answered. But obviously the most important thing is it is 3 points on the standings in Group A, and currently in Group A it is USA leading it, 3 points. Jamaica and Guatemala currently still going on in Group A with their match. They're in the 40th minute, still scoreless. Costa Rica scores. They got a goal from Real Salt Lake's Alvaro Saborío in the 10th minute. Currently it's in the 15th, but Saborío at the moment puts Costa Rica ahead of El Salvador 1-0. That goal came in the 10th minute. They're going into first half stoppage time between Honduras and Panama, and that's 0-0. And once again, Jamaica 0, Guatemala 0. It's going into the 41st minute, and this is all from FIFA's match tracker. So if you want to keep up and see what's going on with the CONCACAF region, just head on over to FIFA's match tracker. Just go to their FIFA.com and just click on their match tracker. But as we still are going on with the show here, guys, let's quickly preview the game against Guatemala. Oh, hold on 1 second. We have a goal from Jamaica. Damar Phillips in the 40th minute puts Jamaica ahead of Guatemala right now. So for Jamaica, they are ahead of Guatemala currently. We have a goal from Damar Phillips, and it, right now Jamaica has a lead, so we'll see what's going to happen before they get into first half stoppage time. But as we go back once again, gentlemen, and Earl, we'll start with you first. They're going down to Guatemala on Tuesday on the 12th. A big game, not just because it's on the road, but because of the last several qualifiers that the U.S. has to face against Guatemala. And I can remember a couple of doozies from the past. I remember an Ante Razov goal that gave the U.S. a 1-0 lead down in Guatemala, and then a guy named Carlos Ruiz that we all know and love, not really, but you know, I remember him taking down a defender, taking down Casey Keller, who had the ball in his hands, and he tried to get a goal. Thankfully, it didn't count, but unfortunately, this is the type of guy that you're going to have to watch out for, because they're going to use anything and everything to get goals and to get wins.
Yeah, and, you know, I think on the last podcast I had talked about not being able to use Jermaine Jones. Well, I think you have to use him, and what I'm wondering is if it's time to maybe give Maurice Adoo a rest, because, I mean, tonight he was just giving the ball away like it was, you know, candy from a fire truck in a parade, you know. I mean, it was just all over the place. I think you definitely have to get that goal. Be lethal, be clinical. They really, you know, maybe they'll be up for this match. Maybe that'll be the difference. Maybe this is a more formidable opponent in their own minds, so that things will be a little different. But in these types of matches, you got to go out and get a goal or two, and then just be ready and bunker in a little bit. But, you know, knowing the way Klinsmann wants these guys to play, that's not necessarily a great option. You know, he wants to, you know, and you saw in the Olympic qualifying what happened against El Salvador when they tried to play that kind of tactic, and instead they ceded a goal, you know, at the very end. You know, this team really needs to get, like you said, I mean, nasty, not necessarily physical nasty, but just have that edge. You know, they really need an edge on this team where, you know, nobody's going to beat them. You know, maybe swagger is the right word. That's what you need going into a place like Guatemala or any of those other countries in Central America.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, and that's what probably it should be. What are your, Robert, I don't know if you were, if you've watched the games back a while ago, or shall I say maybe 10, 12 years ago, but what's your impression about when you see a team like Guatemala? Because obviously, some of them have been in MLS. We already know about Carlos Ruiz and the clinical finisher that he has been. Obviously, he's playing probably still in Guatemala currently. But what do you know about these players that, you know, they're going to go and play and give it everything they've got in these World Cup qualifying games?
Yeah, I have the roster in front of me for the match coming up. And there's a couple of things that stand out. First of all, pretty much all of them play for their domestic league, so there's not a lot of names that, casual U.S. soccer fans are going to know of besides Carlos Ruiz, who's one of, it looks like, two guys who are not playing in the domestic league. He's actually, they have him down for Veracruz. The second thing that stands out is that this is a pretty veteran team in terms of international play. Looking at the roster, you have a number of guys who have 30-plus caps, 20-plus caps, looking at their forwards, 70, 31, 95. So this is a pretty experienced team internationally playing at home. So this is a pretty good setup for a trap game, I think. We already know about the attitude. We already know about the history. The U.S., the two teams coming into this and not knowing what the result of the Guatemala match is tonight, You know, yesterday I would have said U.S. draw, very good, you know, good result, win, not too surprising, loss, not too surprising. Now looking at it, looking at the roster, looking at the way everybody's played, I'd say win would be fairly, pretty surprising, draw, pretty expected, loss, wouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. I mean, you hope for a win. I'm always expecting a draw because of the nature of the game that's going to happen down in Guatemala City. Update once again, Joel Campbell for Costa Rica scores in the 15th minute. It's already in the 22nd. It's 2-0 for Costa Rica ahead of El Salvador in these first games in the semifinal group stage. So currently Costa Rica ahead 2-0 on El Salvador, and that's in the 22nd minute. Guatemala is still down a goal against Jamaica. They're in first half stoppage time. Halftime, 0-0 between Honduras and Panama. Once again, finals, as you already know, the USA defeating Antigua and Barbuda 3-1. Mexico defeating Guyana 3-1. And for Canada and Cuba, Canada defeating Cuba 1-0 down in Cuba. So that is going to... as we already know, Canada starting off strong in their group stage in the semifinals. But once again, gentlemen, do we have any other thoughts about this matchup? Is there any ideas who you would like to see maybe replacing some of these players on the roster, either injured or healthy?
Who are you asking?
I'm asking you both, but Earl, I'll go with you first.
Well, the one thing I'd like to see is to see basically the type of, and it's going to be tough to have the type of formation, the type of tactic that you played against Scotland because you have so many injuries. You know, Fabian Johnson played a big role in that. But what I would like to see is either Altidore or Boyd up top. And, you know, Gomez has played pretty well, but I would say he would be a great spark player in the second half. You know, when you make that switch, let's say to 4-4-2, if that's what you want to do, maybe if you need a goal, you know, bring him on in the second half. But, you know, I think, like I said, I think I've had enough of Adu as far as some of his inability to, you know, contribute to the passing game in an effective way. You know, a lot of passes that were kind of ugly in this match. Then, you know, you have to figure out what you're going to do at left back. And that's, you know, that's for Klinsmann to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Go ahead, Robert. You have any other opinions?
No, you know, left back, I'll second that. You know, to be honest with you, I'd kind of like to see the same lineup out there on Tuesday with maybe one change. I think you've got to move Gomez to the bench to be kind of an impact sub and either put up Altidore or Boyd. But, you know, some of the same guys out there, you know, I'm also not high on Maurice Adu. He had a great, terrible game tonight, but you know, go out there and say, you know what, you're playing for your job, you got to show me something better, or else, you know, you're going to be sitting in favor of, I shudder to say this, Kyle Beckerman, or something like that, you know. But let's send the same lineup out there and say, you guys didn't play with emotion or swagger tonight, show me something different on Tuesday, or we're gonna have to start making some changes.
Absolutely. And once again, Tuesday's game, qualifier, USA at Guatemala, will be on pay-per-view. And, of course, the same old argument about pay-per-view. And, you know, we don't like to see it happen, but unfortunately it will. Earl's going to try and find something in his area around Delaware or in the Philadelphia area. Robert, you're going to try and find the game anywhere in the D.C. area?
Well, I know that I'll give a plug to the American Outlaws. DC chapter is having a nice little reception at a classy establishment in DC somewhere.
So you say.
yes, you know. There's air quotes in that sentence. But failing that, I'm sure there will be plenty of good internet options to follow along the game. Things mm-hmm. like Fox Soccer and so on and so forth.
Exactly. Well, I know that the Football Factory in New York City, the Legends Bar, they'll definitely have it. They will have every single qualifier on tap from CONCACAF, Asia, and anywhere else that's going to be coming in live. So Gentlemen, thank you very much for this opening post-match show for the World Cup qualifying. For Robert Hay Jr. and Earl Reed, I'm Daniel Pierce. Don't forget, we write for MajorLeagueSoccerTalk.com. Check out our articles on MLS, U.S. Open Cup, and our national team. Have a good night, everyone, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday. Take care.